section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
You are about to enter the dirty stalls of It Burns When I Pee. This podcast is for mature audiences only. The views and opinions expressed on this show are usually rude, crude, and offensive, and should not be associated with our guests and sponsors in any way. Please proceed to the first available stall and prepare for takeoff.
Welcome, everyone, to another gripping episode of It Burns When I Pee, the number one podcast for roots music, adult comedy, and interviews. The podcasting god, Blake Clayton, along with his revolving group of co-hosts, are preparing for launch. Please adjust your volume, remove all morals and values, and prepare yourself for what we like to call auditory dysentery. We go live in
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ignition.
Mission control to podcasting god, you are clear to proceed. I repeat, you are clear to proceed.
Folks, welcome to It Burns When I Pee, and I have with me the one and only Joshy P. How is it, buddy?
Good, man. How you been? Long time no talk. Nice
yes.
to hear from you.
It's always a good time. We go way back.
Yeah, many, many years. We used to be best buddies. Now we don't like each other.
Right. Well, we have to hate each other because it's cool to hate each other, right?
Yeah. Competition, man.
Well,
gotta keep that mind.
Right. Gotta be edgy.
Yes.
Well, the new album by Last False Hope, Dig Nails Deep, is done. It's ready to go. Describe it in one word.
Amazing.
Awesome.
Is that a good word?
That's a great word.
So that was one word. No.
So, you know, since the band's inception, late 2009 to early 2010, you guys have really journeyed to find your specific sound. Do you guys think that the new album represents kind of your final settling in what you want Last False Hope to sound like?
Yes, I really do, because, I mean, with the first EP, I mean, definitely we rushed that thing and just put it out as quick as we can just to have something out there. And we've since got a bunch of new members and replaced old members. And right now I think the writing process, I mean, we kind of just, it comes naturally at this point. I mean, it's not like we ever forced anything, but the songs just come way more natural at this point. And still, I mean, we're still mixing it up to where the next newer songs are sounding even more different than the songs on the album. But I think we definitely found out our pockets.
And I think, you know, I've seen you guys live over the past, you know, a few years, a couple of times, and it really seems to think you guys kind of found your stage presence too and kind of what everybody's role is.
Yeah, absolutely. It took, it took Colleen a little bit to get comfortable on stage, and now she's rocking out with the rest of us. And with Ian playing the stand-up bass now, it just adds so much to the stage presence as well. And yeah, we're pretty natural up on stage. It's definitely our best time is when we're performing on stage for people, and we like to give it our all each and every show. And that's why we don't usually play more than 25, 30 minutes, because we get a little worn out because we're getting old.
Right, exactly. So Shooter Jennings helped produce the album. You know, what things did he bring to the recording process and really the growth of Last False Hope?
A lot more than, that really shows if, everything had to be perfect for him. So we were in the studio for quite a long time, and it just really, that's what we needed. We needed a kick in the ass to tell people, you know, it's not good enough. Like every other time we record, we're like, we're like a quarter of a measure off, but fuck it. But no, everything had to be absolutely perfect on this album. And if there was like a certain catch in a song that he thought needed to be repeated, he'd let us know. And then we try that. And he definitely knows his way around music, and he knows what sounds good and what doesn't, what works and what doesn't. And being that we also another thing he did, being that we have 8 instruments now, we just added a lap steel player, and he's also on about half the album. He took parts out when things started to sound too jumbled in parts and really let the instruments focus on like one instrument, two instruments at a time instead of just completely being jumbled, which sometimes, you know, it could sound like that in a recording studio with so many instruments. And he really fine tunes everything and just made it that much more, you know, put together and listenable, so to speak.
Awesome. So, you know, the album is pretty heavy. It's very Last False Hope, obviously.
Yes.
Do you feel that it still falls under the roots genre, or do you consider it punk, or what's your explanation of the sound?
When we started, I mean, the original concept of the band was, you know, I wanted to start a band with instrumentation, like, you know, 337 String Band is still one of my biggest influences, but, you know, just definitely have that punk edge. And now it really just turned into a punk rock hardcore band. I mean, all of us, you know, tried to throw in some bluegrass and country riffs here and there, some rootsy stuff, but I mean, that's just not what's in our hearts. So this is basically us using our instruments that we've come to learn and love and just playing the music we've always played, which is just, I call it hardcore punk rock with acoustic instruments.
Awesome. Who was the primary song?
Do
what?
I said we still love the roots scene and we still love playing with all our friends and everything like that, but we're also doing a lot more punk rock shows these days as well.
Sure. So who was the primary songwriter for most of the album?
Me and lead guitar player Sean did most of the music. Dave, the other guitar player, also did a lot of the music. So most of the time, I mean, you could kind of tell the more like faster songs are kind of the ones I wrote, and then the more just like heavier, you know, chunkier songs is Sean, more intricate, like fucking crazy parts. That's all Sean. And other songs we wrote together, and then all the lyrics were mine. So musically, this is the first album to where I didn't write everything, which is kind of cool. Another big step for Last False Hope and in our sound is that Sean and Dave contributed to all of the album, and there are songs that Sean just wrote from front to back and brought it to us at a practice and said, here, learn this. So yeah, musically, I mean, you could kind of tell the difference between the songs I wrote and the ones that Sean wrote, I think.
And it's kind of good to have, you know, different contributions, so that way not one person's doing the whole thing, and that keeps you guys fresh.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if we would have kept going on with just me writing every song, I think it would have kind of got a little bit, you know, reminiscent of past songs. I tend to write only in E minor, so I mean, that doesn't sound like a big deal, but I mean, if every song is in E minor on for 10 songs, people are going to get sick of that chord, so sick of that fucking sound, so it's good to vary it up a bit.
So tell us a little bit about the album cover. I found that very interesting.
The CD?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, we actually got two different ones. We got a different one for when the vinyl comes out. But the CD, yeah, it's, we had this girl, Meredith, from Zuma Design. Got to give her, not Meredith, I'm sorry, Michelle. Got to give her mad props. She worked very hard on the album cover. And that particular picture that was taken of her friend, Lindsay Jordan, and they actually had a photo shoot. We got about 300 pictures to choose from. And it's kind of just literally a take on the album title, Dig Nails Deep. So it's, we kind of wanted to make it look like a horror movie, like scene kind of a way. So obviously they're digging a nail out of her eyeball. So kind of grotesque, but, you know, I think it fits our attitude and our sound a little bit. So, and then the vinyl one is actually completely different. It's all white. She's wearing a white dress, just bleeding from the eyes. And that one's not really a horror movie, just kind of fucking creepy.
So what's next for Last False Hope?
Right now we are writing, in the process of writing a 4-song EP. We're doing a split with High Lonesome, which is Ian's band, our bass player. He's in both bands. So we're going to do 3 original songs and do a cover of I Ain't No Goddamn Holy Man by High Lonesome. And that's the next thing we're doing recording-wise. Otherwise, we're just gearing up for the album release, doing a lot of shows, trying to get out of town as much as possible. And for all those people that can't get to where we are, we'll be back at Moonrunners and Muddy Roots next year. So you could catch us at both of those, and I believe Farmageddon Fest as well. So that's up next. And, yeah, just really trying to hit it hard, trying to play as many shows as we can and continuing to write and record.
Is it difficult to have that many people involved in the band and then being able to kind of schedule tour dates and shows?
Yeah, it's next to impossible. it's really, really hard. That's why a lot of times people, you know, criticize us and say, oh, you only do big marquee type shows. You don't play any little dive bars or anything like that. And the only reason is there's 8 of us and 2 of the members live in Wisconsin. One was in Madison, one was in Milwaukee. So, I mean, it's got to be, you know, every show is worth our time, but, I mean, it's got to be worth the drive. And unfortunately, we have to get a certain kind of sound system for us because there's just so many members. We can't just go through some kid's PA like that, which kind of sucks because that takes a lot of the punk rock ethic out of it. But there are certain stipulations that we must have at shows just in order to make it sound, you know, somewhat decent. And getting all the 8 members together is pretty much impossible. So a lot of times we'll play as a 6-piece or a 7-piece. So, but usually, you know, if it's a big show like a festival or the record release show coming up, it'll be the full 8-piece band because, you know, 7 just wasn't enough.
Right. Exactly. You got to split the money up even further now.
Yeah, I know it. But, you know, I've always been in love with the Left Steel sound, and I think it just adds a little bit more weirdness to everything else that's going on. So couldn't say no to that.
Right on. Well, you know, you're a father, a podcaster, you have a label, and you run a yearly festival, and you're the front man for Last False Hope. Do you ever struggle to balance it all and wear all the different hats?
I also write for Moonrunners too. Don't forget that.
Right.
But, at times, you know, it could be hectic, but, you know, with, now that, you know, me and my baby's mama, we're no longer together. So actually, gives me a little bit more free time because I have the kids half the week now. And then when I don't have the kids, I could focus on all my other projects when I'm not working. So it is, if I didn't like it, if I didn't love it, I wouldn't do it. So, but at times it can get, you know, overwhelming, so to say. But, I mean, I could easily just stop doing Outlaw Radio or stop doing writing for Moonrunners. But, you know, I wouldn't do it if I didn't still love it. So it's the only thing I know. So, right. I mean, it keeps my time occupied. I don't play video games or anything like that. So that's like my hobby. You know, music is definitely a hobby, and it takes up all of my time. And actually tonight I'm going to DJ up at Reggie's at a local place in Chicago. So I'm doing that as well now.
Man. You make the rest of us look,
you know,
lazy.
Having fun. No. It's just, you know, it's a love, it's a passion. And I don't know what I'd do if I didn't have all these different things going on. I'd probably just be very bored a lot of the time.
So let's talk about Outlaw Radio Chicago. I mean, that's the first place we met 5-6 years ago. You know, what's going on with that, and where do folks go to listen to it?
It just basically got ridiculous at this point. Stevie Lee, the drummer of Last False Hope, has been the co-host for about a year and a half, 2 years now. So it's definitely not as serious as it once was. It's kind of leaning towards, you know, more your style. It's pretty offensive, and just we usually get pretty drunk, and we still have live music every week in the living room, so we always have the best band still. So that's still the same. Otherwise, I mean, the segments are definitely different for people that might not have heard the show in a couple of years. It's a little bit less serious and more fun, but, I mean, it's still a place to find new roots music. I'm still playing only brand new music from unsigned artists, and I'm still throwing in the classics once in a while. So the music format has not changed at all, just the whole concept of the show is just a little bit funner for us now. Like I said, I mean, doing something for so long and keeping it the same, things get stale, like you with your different hosts and stuff. You got to change it up once in a while. So now with me bringing in Stevie, and it's just a lot more fun for me. Like, I was getting, not say it was getting boring, it lost its edge a little bit, and it's definitely brought that back. And, you know, we're still going. You know, it's not as popular as it used to be, but we're at that never has mattered to me. So, I mean, we're going to keep going. So, you know, we don't want to do it anymore.
Right on. You know, podcasting, you and I were, I don't want to say the first, but we were the first couple of shows to kind of feature and focus on underground country and roots music. And now there's a vast amount of shows that feature and promote the music. You know, what do you see for the future of podcasting in regards to the scene? Do you think it's going to hurt the scene, or do you think it, or how do you feel about it?
I don't think it could hurt. I mean, the only thing with, like, I mean, I don't know how yours is, but, you know, over the years, you know, with all the different other shows popping up, I mean, it kind of makes people, they've got too much to choose from.
Yeah.
So instead of just, you know, choosing IBWP and Outlaw Radio, you know, they kind of just are overwhelmed and just don't listen to anything anymore, it seems like it. So, I mean, in that way, it could kind of hurt. But in other ways, I mean, every show is going to have, you know, at least 20, 30 people, I'm sure, tuning in and hearing new bands. And I still have people email me asking what that so-and-so band was that I played. And it's still refreshing to, you know, let people into this new music, and they find a new artist still to this day. It's been 6-7 years. I don't know. It's been a long time. So, but I think it's good. I know there's a new one that, what's his name? Justin does that. He was the lead singer of the Cheatin' Hearts. He's got Death to False Country Radio, which I think is pretty cool. Him and his wife are doing that. And then, of course, you still got Miller doing his thing, which is awesome, and us too. And then, yeah, there's a lot of other ones out there. I don't even know all of them anymore.
Yeah. The one
but
thing I
don't think it could ever hurt.
I think one thing I've noticed is it helps promote the regional music. You know, if it's a show down in Texas, there's more Texas artists featured, and you know, East Coast
for
and
sure.
West Coast. So that's always good.
But that's good. Yeah, I couldn't say it's a bad thing at all. I mean, it just does give people a lot of options, but that's, you know, I don't think that's a bad thing.
It makes us work a lot harder, though, doesn't it?
It sure does, yeah. Well, actually, it made me work a little bit less on this show. It's good, though. I mean, there's people, you know, now they're playing Last False Hope, so, you know, I can't complain.
Right on.
They had podcasters ask me for the album, so, I mean, that's great. So.
Well, the other thing under your hat, Moon Runners 2014 is in full swing. Tickets are on sale. The lineup is set. What changes have you made compared to last year's event?
Well, this year it's 2 days. So, I mean, we got more artists, which is always a big thing. Other than that, I mean, it went so smoothly last year. For some reason, we're going to have a live podcaster there. So I added that this year.
It's gonna be a train.
No, I mean, there's unfortunately with the how many bands I have, there will be some overlapping here and there, but it's not gonna be anything that, you know, you're not used to from Muddy Roots, you know. So right. I mean, and plus the rooms are literally next door to each other, so it is very possible to go back and forth. But with how smooth the staff was at Reggie's last year and how great everything worked out, we're really not making too many changes this year. We're just going to try to keep it as steady and on schedule as possible.
Yeah, and I we went last year, and really it was a one day festival for the first year, man. It really was top notch. It was smooth. There was no hiccups that you could at least see from the, you know, from the average guy's standpoint.
No, yeah, not at all. Nobody started late. Everything was right on cue. So I mean, yeah, it was. And I got to hand that all to the Reggie staff. I mean, I actually brought some of my own staff with me, stagehands and whatnot, and they didn't even need to do anything. Like, they sat around watching the bands. So, I mean, it was really had to do a lot with the staff there. And that's why we had an option to go to a bigger room. Actually, we got two different options, but I kept it to where I was more comfortable, kept it at Reggie's just because I know I'll have not much to worry about when I'm there.
Awesome. So the official release date for Dig Nails Deep.
November 19th, Tuesday, the release party. You could get it early, November 16th, if you're in the Chicago area. But we'll be doing a show at Reggie's, same place Moon Runners is held, with The Unseen. It's their first Chicago show in over 5 years, Midwest altogether, actually. They don't play too much, so that's kind of a big deal for us. But, yeah, November 19th is the release date, and you could be able to get it everywhere digitally, but I really enjoy the artwork. So if you really want the whole package, just go to solitaryrecords.com or lastfalsehope.com and you can pre-order it there, and we'll get it to you probably before the release date because they should be in our hands within the next week.
All right, buddy. Hey, congratulations on the new album. I know you've put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into this band for the past few years, and I'm really proud of that you got it out, and you're doing everything, man. Just keep it up.
Thanks, man. I am. I always will, man. And you do too, man. And it's always nice to hear from you. I can't wait to see you at Moon Runners, and we're gonna get you set up, and you're gonna be going live, right? Or
we'll have to work out the details. Yeah,
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But anyways, it'll make for a good show for sure. But thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to talk about the album. It was a long time coming. I mean, literally 3 years in the making. This album is, and it's so good that, you know, it's finally done and we don't have to do anything else for a little bit recording wise. So I hope everybody enjoys it, and once again, just go to lastfalsehope.com or solitaryrecords.com and pick it up.
All right, Josh EP, my good man, Outlaw Radio Chicago, Moon Runners, Last False Hope, you name it, he does it.
Thank you, buddy. Always a pleasure, and I'm glad you're still going strong with your show, man. Love it.
Thanks, man. Project. All right, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Bye-bye.
Living with the law that you still love me. I drink myself to death to numb my ailing heart. Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, Section 8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.